Last week's assassination of Punjab's Governor Salman Taseer, reportedly by a member of the elite police force that was supposed to protect him, has increased anxiety over the future course of Pakistan. Mr. Taseer had angered many radicals for opposing Pakistan's harsh blasphemy laws. The outrage over his murder was heightened by the published image of his alleged assassin smiling and being showered with rose petals by supporters as he was led into court. Bruce Riedel chaired President Obama's 2009 strategic review of U.S. policy toward Pakistan and Afghanistan. His book, Deadly Embrace, Pakistan, America, and the Future of Global Jihad, will be published next month. He joins us in our studios. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And what does this assassination say about Pakistan at the moment?
This assassination symbolizes Pakistan's severe political, social crisis. There is a battle underway for the soul of Pakistan. On the one side are those who want to remain true to the original dream of Pakistan, which was a Pakistan as a homeland for Muslims, but as a moderate, democratic homeland, secular in nature. Pitted against them are those who want Pakistan to be an Islamist state, if not a jihadist state. Pakistan is today probably the most dangerous country in the world. A uniquely combustible place where issues like the future of Islam, the future of democracy, but also nuclear weapons, nuclear war, terrorism, all come together in one place.
And let me hone in on that phrase, uniquely combustible, because I know that you even mean it in all senses. Does it concern you that at a time when the United States and other powers are assured, don't worry about Pakistan's nuclear weapons because they are in the hands of people who have been vetted and are trustworthy, that somebody who was a member of this elite protective force who was vetted and trustworthy should apparently take this action?
Oh, I think it's very concerning. We now know, of reading the Pakistani press, that this individual on 18 occasions in the last year served as the bodyguard for either the president or the prime minister of Pakistan. This man, who had a known proclivity for Islamic extremism, if that's how good the vetting process is for bodyguards, it raises serious questions about the vetting process and the nuclear weapons program.
And help us read the significance of something like this. It is reported that not a single registered mullah in the city of Lahore was willing to read Mr. Taseer's funeral prayers because they were too scared.
The assassination of Mr. Taseer is bad enough, but it's the reaction to the assassination which is really disturbing. The assassin has been honored. The murdered governor has been generally forgotten, and no one in Pakistan is speaking out for him. In other words, in this battle for the soul of Pakistan, the Islamic extremists have scored an important victory in intimidating their opponents in the last couple of weeks.
Mr. Riedel, I think anybody listening would be struck by the fact that what you seem to be describing is a kind of civil war, not north against south, east against west, but almost block by block.
It is definitely a civil conflict. Last year, there were something like 2,100 terrorist incidents in the country. In the year before, the last year we have numbers, 25,000 Pakistani civilians were killed or wounded in terrorism-related violence. It may not be full-scale civil war yet, but it's certainly approaching civil war. And a battle that now rages not just in the extreme northwest tribal zones, which we hear about all the time, the Waziristans, but in every major Pakistani city.
Of course, we note that President Zardari traveled to the United States this week. Is the United States talking to the wrong person?
The United States has a long history in Pakistan of supporting every military dictator that has come along. And unfortunately, because we've done that for the last 40 years, we've helped to strengthen the unbalance between military institutions and civil institutions. It's been a remarkably bipartisan record, Republicans and Democrats alike. And because of that, we are partially responsible for the weakness of Pakistan's democratic institutions and civilian authority. President Zardari is a weak leader. He's widely regarded as corrupt, but he is the democratically elected leader of Pakistan. We need to support the civil institutions, recognizing their weaknesses, because the alternative, backing military dictators is what got us into the mess we're in today. I think it's wise that President Obama has met with Zardari, and I think it's very wise that President Obama has promised to travel to Pakistan this year. My point is, it's important to bear in mind with all of Pakistan's problems that there are civilian leaders, there's a civil society, there's a middle class that wants to get back to that vision of a moderate, modern Pakistan. We should recognize they're in the struggle of their lifetime. That struggle is immensely important to us, and we need to help those who want to build a modern Pakistan, not an Islamic emirate aligned with Al-Qaeda.
Bruce Riedel, Senior Fellow at the Brookings Institution, thanks so much.
My pleasure.